Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. 1 year from today, speed skating events are set to begin at the 2014 Winter Olympics in Sochi, Russia. And Bridie Farrell hopes she'll be there. Today, though, she is in Milwaukee, training at the Pettit National Ice Center. And the road for her and some other Olympic hopefuls will include a weekend event at the Pettit, the National Age Group Long Track Championships. It's a revival for her skating career, which started more than a decade ago with Farrell as a world-class short track racer. She left the sport for 6 years before deciding to give it another go. Bridie Farrell is going to join us from time to time over the next year to share the latest chapters in her Olympic dreams. She joins us in the studio now to talk about how it started. Welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me.
So there are a million different athletic pursuits you could do and probably be good at. Why are you a speed skater?
Why would one not be a speed skater is my answer to the question. I grew up in Saratoga Springs, New York, which is a speed skating town similar to Milwaukee. And I grew up doing a lot of different sports, but ultimately channeled into focus on speed skating. And I like the racing aspect and the technical aspect that's incorporated with the sport.
How quickly did you connect with it? I mean, was it like love at first sight or love at first skate?
I think it was love at first skate. I started skating when I was 6 with my brother. And like I said, I did a bunch of different sports, soccer, basketball, football, figure skating, and ultimately just worked up the ranks in speed skating, whether it was locally, state. And I really just fell in love with it, the people, the atmosphere, the traveling with racing, and I still am.
This is mostly, I mean, this is not like a high school sport. This is a club level sport.
Right. Speed skating in northern New York, in some parts of Minnesota, they have it at the high schools. But where I came from in northern New York, it was a club, a local town sport, much like here in Milwaukee.
Women's hockey, girls hockey is a huge deal these days. So was it not part of the equation when you were growing up?
Actually, it was the starting part of the equation. So when I was little, I told my mom I wanted to play hockey. And she said, hockey's not for girls. So she actually put me in figure skating. And then my older brother, Patrick, saw speed skating and said that he wanted to do that. My dad said he wasn't going to the rink twice. So if I still wanted to skate, I would have to go along with Patrick to speed skating. So it all started with me saying, I want to play hockey. My mom saying, no, hockey's not for girls. Well, hockey is very much for girls. And you can play in high school. You can get a college scholarship. So I, even to this day, as I write my loan reimbursement to Cornell, I say to my mom, yeah, hockey is not for girls. And she hasn't paid the tuition check yet, but she apologizes for it.
Did you rapidly get good at it?
Yeah, I mean, I think...
Were you chasing your older brother?
Yeah, well, he asked him. He said he always got sick of waiting for me when I was in the finals and he was eliminated in the first round. But I don't know if I was necessarily good or I was just a very aggressive kid and that I would be throwing fists to win the races or chasing a ball or whatever the case was. But yeah, I mean, I skated with the 6-year-olds and the 7-year-olds. And then once I was 8, I started racing with the 10-year-olds and moved up in that progression. But also we had a very established club where there's plenty of older skaters for us to chase. And our coach was very technical. So it helped us progress as skaters as well.
And you were a short tracker at this point, and that is a really aggressive sport. Where I mean, when the other racers saw your name on their list for heats, were they like, "Oh God, Farrell's in this race"?
Well, you should call some of them and ask them. But I was known for not being the nicest skater in terms of sharp elbows and throwing fists. But yeah, I grew up skating short track, which is in hockey rink. And it's pack style, so you'll have between 4 and 6 or 8 people in one race, and it's the top 2 or 3 people across the line that advance to the next round, versus in long track, it's just the fastest man wins. The first guy across the line with the quickest time wins, where short track, it's pack style, so you do have to be very tactical and very gutsy and fearless to an extent, maybe to an extent that was detrimental to me in disqualifications, But yeah, short track is cutthroat, and you kind of have to be aggressive and be able to push around out there.
Well, and you mentioned you went to Cornell, mm-hmm. and this was sort of after the first part of your skating mm-hmm. career, but there, you must have been able to somehow manage that elite athletic and academic balance, because not everybody gets into Cornell.
That's true. Yeah, so when I was skating, I always went to school as well. I lived at the Olympic Training Center in Colorado Springs, and I went to the University of Colorado for a couple years, and I did computer science. So I made sure to focus on math and science and computer programming. And then when I realized I wasn't going to make the 2006 Olympic team I was trying out for, I knew that I needed some other high intensity to focus on, high intensity activity. So I had thought about staying in Colorado and snowboarding in Denver, or they have reciprocity with Hawaii of going and surfing and actually having fun for a while. But I knew I needed some crazy intensity, and Cornell certainly provided that for me. So being from New York, I applied and I got into Cornell, and it really did suffice in terms of the rigor and intensity. Although I will say that I got there, and it was the first time since I was probably in the seventh grade that I had a two-day weekend. And I even said to the professor, like, what are you guys doing? This is the first time I ever had 2 days. I mean, we always trained at least on a Saturday, and you'd only get a Sunday off. So I thought that was nice. Cornell gave us two-day weekends.
You tried for Olympic teams in three successive Olympics mm-hmm. and never quite got there.
Right.
How do you get past a disappointment like that?
Well, the first go was the 1998 Olympic trials, and I turned 16 at those trials, and I skated well. I missed the team by five spots, which isn't remarkable knocking on the door, but it was decent. In 2002, I missed that team by one spot, and that was pretty hard because physically, I was fast enough to be on that team and strong enough to be on that team, but tactically, I made some mistakes, and that was hard to digest. And it was just a very dramatic competition. In the last race, I got cut between my seventh and eighth rib and had 20 stitches, three layers deep, and it was just, I just wanted to be out of that rink. And really, to the last minute, it was just high intensity and drama and blood and the whole thing. So missing that team by one spot was pretty hard. And it really changed my perspective in terms of skating, where I didn't put all my eggs in one basket. And that's when I focused more on school and moved to Colorado. But when I missed the Torino team in 2006, 2005, I was third in the country. But I'm not going to blame my missing the team on the injury, but it certainly, having a torn ligament and tendon didn't help my efforts very much, and having reconstructive surgery and everything like that. By the time that trials was over, during that competition, I had a broken collarbone and another concussion, and my ankle was, I'd walk to the rink in a cast, take it off and skate. So, I was ready to be done with skating and the pain of it, but after being away and having a few surgeries to put my body back together and rest up a bit, I just missed being at the rink and the atmosphere and the true act of skating, which I'm lucky to be able to be in a sport where you can come back and enjoy the sport for what it is.
I was going to say, I imagine once you get to that point, you're never not a speed skater.
No, you're always,
you're just a speed skater,
whether you're driving
ice.
A car, for better or for worse. But there's a couple different kinds of skaters. There's those that skate because they're good at skating. They keep moving through it. They skate because there's nothing else to do. And there's those that skate because they truly love to skate. And I love to ice skate. That's why I skate.
Up until a few months ago, you had nothing to do with Milwaukee.
Correct.
How did you end up here?
So how did I end up in Great Milwaukee? I took off 6 years of skating from 2006, and
got your degree in there, right?
Took 6 years off. I got my degree at Cornell, and then I went and I worked at New York Life Insurance Company in New York City in their corporate home office. After a couple of years there, I missed the stress and intensity, so I went into the field force, and where I'm an agent and registered rep with New York Life. And that's stressful and intense, but I guess I missed extreme intensity. And so I decided to go back to skating, but I wanted to have more of a pure speed skating, and that's where long track comes in. And when I looked at places across the U.S. where I could train, there are a few, but I came to Milwaukee a lot when I was racing short track, and I like it. The people are good, the place is good, the ice is good, there's good coaching here, And so I said, why not? So I came here for a weekend. I joke because I came here on a one-way ticket and dream, I say. And it was great. I ended up staying for a month and found an apartment, and it was better than I could have ever hoped for. So it's a great place to train and meet people and everything. So I'm quite happy here.
Getting back into it, I mean, you've reinvented yourself as a long tracker. Mm-hmm. Your aim is the Olympic team.
Yes, again.
It is, it's obviously an uphill battle, but what is a day in the life of an aspiring long track Olympian who is training in Milwaukee?
My alarm goes off at 5:25 every single day, and in the morning, I either go to the gym and do a strength workout, or I go to my office. I pretty much rotate that, and then I get to the Pettit National Ice Center about 9 o'clock, where I work with my coach, Bob Fenn, on technique, typically in the morning for maybe an hour or 2 hours on the ice. And then after the ice, we do more technique. And, I mean, I will say in there as well that we do warm-ups and cool-downs, which now I appreciate the intensity of a warm-up. What I would have called a workout just a year ago is now what these guys only call a warm-up. So you run maybe 2 miles, and you do some stretches and squats and calisthenics and enough to have previously tired me out for the day. And then I'll have maybe 3 hours off in between the morning and afternoon. And then the afternoon is when we meet as a team, and we'll do – it varies between long laps or intervals or sprints or all sorts of different things on the ice in terms of extreme training. And then after ice, we'll do more conditioning, whether it's running up and down the stairs. And we'll do that to mimic the duration of a skating race. So we'll do sprints for a 500, or we'll run up and down the stairs for 6 minutes to replicate a 3,000 meter, something of that nature. And then I usually get home about 8:30 at night, and I have a strict 10 o'clock bedtime. 5:25, it all happens again.
When you say you meet as a team, I mean, this is not the U.S. national team. This is not a, right. Strictly speaking, this is just all the people who happen to be training here. Is that how that works?
Yeah, well, speed skating is unique in that we do have a national team in Salt Lake City, and you have to be invited to go train with them, but you also don't have to. So, for example, when I was on short track team, I was invited to train with the national team, but I opted to train with a club with my coach, Pat Maxwell. And so some people do that here to train at the Pettit in Milwaukee. When I say my team, I train with some of the best up-and-coming junior skaters and some international folks. We have one of the guys that I chase around all the time is from Finland. And so as a group that way we meet. And like I said, my coach's name is Bob Fenn, and he has a bunch of skaters under him that he's training, whether he's training them to make the junior national team or the Olympic team or whatever their individual goals are. But we can customize it so that maybe one day I'm doing a 6-lap interval and someone else is doing a 4-lap interval and somebody else is doing a 10-lap. But because we have different end goals, we can still work together, which keeps it nice and keeps it spiced up as well.
As, you know, ostensibly an independent speed skater, you can just drop into Milwaukee and suddenly you have this coaching staff and support staff all here.
It's
willing to work with you.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally amazing. And I will say that speed skating is kind of similar to tennis, although maybe in Florida people would disagree. But you can skate until... as long as you can stand up, you can skate. There's no reason not to. So you'll have even folks that we have people here that are training maybe 50, 54 years old, and they're competing against the Masters world record. So, you have the whole spectrum of folks, and you come in and you say, my name is so-and-so, and I'm 15. I want to do this. I'm Bridie Farrell. I'm 31. I want to make the Olympic team. Okay, we can work with you.
Do you develop loyalty to a place? I mean, you've been in Milwaukee for a couple months. Does it become part of you at some point, or is Milwaukee for you the Pettit?
No, I don't think so. I mean, I would have said the Pettit, but in my experience of just being at the rink and meeting the little skaters that are a part of the club that I meet, or like yourself, you know, people that are truly nice people, or when I've gone even looking for apartments or whatever, I mean, to me, Milwaukee is a community, and people are really nice, and I've met people outside of skating who've invited me out for Super Bowl games and New Year's parties and things like that. So I don't – like, yeah, I'm here to skate, but at the same time, I really like it here, and I haven't looked in terms of finding a place to live. It wasn't just I'm going to live out of a suitcase. I mean, I unpacked and say that for better or worse, I – currently live in Milwaukee.
Well, we're happy to have you here.
Thank you.
Bridie Farrell, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Thank you very much.
Speed skater Bridie Farrell is training for her Olympic ambitions at Milwaukee's Pettit National Ice Center. The center hosts the National Age Group Long Track Championships Saturday and Sunday. When she's not skating, Farrell is also a financial services professional with New York Life. Our own team of elite athletes includes Stephanie Lecce, Dan Harmon, and Bonnie North with production assistance from Eleanor Peterson. John Strelecki is our studio engineer. I'm Mitch Tite. Go do some skating or sledding or snowman building this weekend, and I hope you'll also include us in your plans. Lake Effect Weekend is tomorrow and Sunday afternoon at 3 on 89.7 Milwaukee Public Radio, WUWM, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock.